Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Praise Yahweh. Hallelujah. Thank you for being here, not just those here in the sanctuary, but those also who are tuning in online on iChurch in Spanish and in English this morning. You know, this is what we want to happen. We want His Spirit to move. Do everything that the folks came in expectation for. I don't know, when I come to service, I just expect. I expect. Sometimes I don't know what it is exactly, but I expect. I expect Him to speak. I expect Him to move, do what He does. So we're no longer on a series. I usually do series when there just is not enough time for me to just express all the things that come forth in the study. And we were on a series a few weeks ago on Unleash the Power of the Holy Spirit. Last week. So right now, I'm week to week. Is that okay with you? You know, sometimes when you do week to week, it's cool because it's an on-time word. That's just like in that moment. And so right now I'm just on time word. Is that cool with you? All right. So last week we talked about how Yahweh moves in us. Actually, we try to acquiesce to Him in everything that we do. And we expect Him. How many of you expect Him? You expect Him, right? And so, when I was teaching Bible study this past week, the Holy Spirit was just kind of ministering some things to me. Bible study is about allowing the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to move in our services. Guess what? He's moving in the service. We got to allow Him to do that. We got to allow Him to move. We have to understand how He moves. And so that was dynamic. But when we allow Him to move, that means we believe that He's going to move. And we just want to be ready. And I believe I heard in the prophecy today that it said, be ready. You know, be ready. Be at that moment in time, that point. So it's so appropriate that that's what He's speaking, because that's what He put in my spirit during this last week. And when we allow the Holy Spirit the room to work, He does what He does. But something happens in that process. We release to Him, and He moves and bestows whatever He wants to say or move or do at that moment. And what got me is the dynamic of how that happens. We know that that's faith. We believe that He's going to do what He said He's going to do. Yeah. But today there is a dynamic that happens when you hear the word and when you act on the word. Something happens. There's a transaction. There's a ignition. Something ignites in that moment. And He led me to study on where logos becomes rhema. Maybe you don't totally get that yet, because you need to know what logos is and what rhema is. But something happens when the logos become rhema. Well, what is the logos? The living word. The total inspired living word of Yahweh. And we know that Yeshua was the living word, the living logos, right? Let's go to Yohanan in the first chapter. Something takes place when you understand what logos is. So that's the word. Just say the word, the living word, the word, the living word. And we know Yeshua was the embodiment of that because the scripture tells us so. So when we go to Yohanan in the first chapter, the first verse, John, it says, in the beginning was the word, the logos. And the word was with Yahweh. And the word what? So it's with him. How is that possible? Because that's how he operates. He is the word, and Yeshua is him. Right? So, but then we go to the 14th verse. And the 14th verse is what? And the word was what? Made flesh. Dwelt among us. So that means it became alive. And we know that Yeshua is the word that was made flesh. He's the embodiment of the word. And the word dwelt among us. And as we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we have a definition of logos. We know who the living logos is. Something happened between the word being the word and then the word becoming living. Right? It was the word, and then it became alive in Yeshua. Do you understand that? So when we look at rhema, the definition of rhema is along those lines. It says the rhema is when the word is manifested and made alive by a speaking, acting on it. So has something happens between when you hear the word and then when you so the logos is the logos, but in you something happens when you receive the logos. The logos actually becomes rhema. But that it doesn't become rhema until you so I got a lot of people that's full of logos, but where's the rhema? That means when it becomes alive. And isn't it interesting? And it's not a coincidence, because guess what? There's no such thing as coincidence. If the logos existed in the beginning and Yeshua became the living logos, right? Became alive, then in you, when you receive the word, you're supposed to be like Yeshua. You're supposed to allow that word to become alive in you. And we know that faith is the key. You got to believe that word. But something happens when the logos becomes rhema. Something happens in you. And we need to understand that dynamic, right? Because there is a rhema in you right now, a potential rhema. But you got to let that, you got to act on that. You speak it. When you speak the word, it becomes alive, and when you act on the word, it becomes alive. There's something else. See, these are Greek terms. So do you mind if we dabble a little bit in the Greek for a second? There is a Greek word called chronos. Chronos is the unfolding of time. That just keeps, you know, going. It's a constant unfolding of time. But there's a word called kairos. And kairos is a particular moment in time for a decision or an action. So during the course of Chronos, you're going to have some kairos moments. And in those kairos moments, you're going to have to decide something. You're going to have to say something. You're going to have to do something. The kairos moment is an opportunity for the rhema to become manifest. See, sometimes we're full of the word, but we have not acted on it until kairos. Have you ever had a situation where you are, you know that something has come up and then the word comes up in your spirit? The logos? And you have an opportunity in that moment. Somebody say kairos. Kairos. What are you going to do in that moment? Are you going to complain or cast that word down? Or are you going to speak the word and allow the word to do what the word does, which it delivers, it provides, right? It manifests. And you're going to have to live your chronos expecting a kairos so that you can have the logos, so when the kairos comes, you have a rhema. Somebody understand what I'm talking about? Somebody didn't get that. You're living Chronos, right? But there's going to be a moment where you're going to need the logos. And what is that moment called? Kairos. That's that moment in time where you need to make a situation. You need to say something. You need to do something. Are you going to allow the rhema to come at that moment? Somebody say you better. Go to... This is so interesting. We have an example of John, Yohanan. Well, he wrote this. He was the only one that kind of talked about logos and rhema, the manifestation of it. Because he kind of was an example of how the process works. Yohanan, he was a disciple, right? Walk with Yeshua. But something happened at the cross. And so I don't know if I have time to totally unfold this, but if when Logos meets, or if Logos becomes Ramos, may become a series. I don't know. I'm going to try to give you as much as I can today. But if I don't, guess what? We got next week. But you need to understand how this works. And so John, Yohanan, was walking with Yeshua, and something happened on the cross. Yeshua spoke, I believe, 7 times. And that is almost a series in itself. But I'm going to give you guys some, you want some stuff to nibble on? Okay, I'll give you some stuff to nibble on. I'm going to give you the first word of Yeshua. I'm going to give you the second word of Yeshua. I'm going to give you the fourth word of Yeshua, the fifth, sixth, and seventh. I'm withholding one of them to give you at the end, because that's the one that makes my point. The first word of Yeshua was Luke 23:24, where he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." The second word of Yeshua was Luke 23:43. Which is, "Truly I say unto you, today you will be with me in paradise." Well, who was he talking to? You know. The thief. I'm not giving you the third word yet. The fourth word he said was, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Which we find in Matthew 27:46, and we find in Mark 15:34. The fifth word was in John, Johann in 1928. Am I going too fast for y'all? The fourth one was, my God, why have thou forsaken me? And that was Matthew 27, 46. And we find it in Mark 15, 34. Eli, Eli, lama, sabachthani, right? You got the, I didn't give you the third yet because I'm holding, tell your neighbor we holding that back. The fifth word, you with me? We find in Johann 19:28, the Gospel of John, Johann 19:28, and that is, I thirst.
Thank you.
Mm. See, there's, if I were to, I could do a series on all of the seven things. It may come, but I'm going to focus on one of the words. The sixth word is, we find in Johann 19:29-30. And here, he says, it is finished. Whew. The seventh word that he says is in Luke 23:46, where he says, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Got that? That's seven. I'm holding one back, so make sure you get this. The first word, let's go to the top again. Because see, what I'm giving you some jerky that you can chew on during the week. We talk about the word from the cross. The first word was Luke 23:34. Father, I forgive them, for they know not what they do, right? The second word was from Luke 23:43, which was, truly I say unto you, today you will be with me in paradise. The third word, I'm not giving you yet. So, three is blank. And then we skip to number four. I'm glad I went, I mean, I feel like I'm in Bible class this morning. That's cool though. Fourth word is Matthew 27:46, where he says, my God, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. And we find that in Mark 15:34 too. The fifth word is, I thirst. Johann 19:28, John 19:28. And the sixth word is, it is finished. Johann 19:29-30. And the seventh is, Father, I into your hands I commend my spirit. Luke 23:46. Now, are you ready for number three? This is interesting. This has to do with Johannan. And in the third word, we find in Johann 19:26. So we can go there. I think I have it there. Johann 19, chapter the 26th verse. And this was the third word he said on the cross. And he said, when Yeshua therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved. And we know that that disciple was who? John, Johannan. He said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. And then the next verse he says, then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. Well, what do we know about Johannan? Well, from that moment, guess what? Yeshua gave him the word, listen, this is my mama. I need you to take care of her. We go to Acts, when we see the church. Yeshua's already gone now, the church. We don't see much of Johannan. Where is Johannan? He is doing what Yeshua told him to do. Which was, Yeshua gave him the word, that's your mama now. Take care of her, right? And so what was happening, do that, so during that time, Johannan was what? Taking care of Mary, Martha. Then Mary Miriam. Then he says, then we say, well, Where was he in Acts? Well, there are some places where he was, he shows up, right? So you see him in the third chapter of Acts. They call him to the city of Samaria. But what was he doing in that between time? He was taking care of his mother. And so when we go to conceive this, Yohanan is taking care of Mary. What is Mary doing? She's saying, hey, you know, when I was carrying Yeshua, you know, the angel appeared to me. Gabriel. She told him about his life, their experiences. When he was lost and found, she found him in the temple. And he was like, I'm about my father's business. How much time did he spend? He spent 40 years listening. Now he walked with Yeshua and heard Yeshua, and then he's getting in the other side. So then people think, well, no, that can't be because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Johann, and well known, you think that the word was written sequentially like that? John, Johann, and that book was the last book written of the 66. So that means that was written after he had marinated in the word for 40 years. So when we look at Johann, even though it's the fourth chapter, it's really the last book that is written. So there is some fervency in what he has to say about everything that happened, because he had over 80 years of ministry to think about this. So it was written even after Revelations. And so go to Johann, the 24th chapter. So some of y'all sitting up in here receiving word and all this. Has it become Rhema yet? Johann spent a lot of time, but he had not written anything for years. Until he was exiled at Ephesus. And then they sent him to Patmos. And he spent 12 years there. And that's where he writes Revelation. And then he wrote first, the second, and third Johann. And then when he was released from Patmos, he goes back to Ephesus after 80 years in ministry. And guess what he writes? That very last book. He had access to all the other books, all the other gospels. But then when he gets an opportunity to write, after all these years of receiving the word, he writes, in the beginning was the word. Come on, y'all. He's like, listen, I done heard everything, I done been told everything, and I gotta tell you, in the beginning, guess what? What's the word? And so when we go to Johann, the 24th chapter, which 21st chapter? Because somebody, you should have said, there ain't no 24. Somebody was like, well, where 24 at? We got some scholars here. Johann in the 21st chapter. Guess what the 21st chapter is? It's the first one? 21st chapter of Johann? It's the what? It's the last. How many books? Do I need to come down there? How many chapters in Johann? Hey, so what is it? What is the 21st chapter? So the last two verses, listen, he says, this is the disciple which testified of these things. Guess what? He's saying, I'm the one, and guess what? I know what I'm talking about. I'm testifying of these things. This is me. And wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And the 25th verse says what? And there are also many other things which Yeshua did, the which If they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written among. Do you know what he's saying? He's done so many things that we just can't write about all of it. The word is so full, you just can't experience all of it. But guess what? I'm going to die trying. I'm going to experience all of it. So this is a man that's talking from experience. See, listen, I done heard it all. I done been through it all. I've been exiled and I wrote. I'm inspired by the Holy Ghost. I came back. I'm still inspired. And out of everything I know, I'm going to tell you this thing first. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And that means that the Word, the significant fact that the Word was in the beginning and became alive. So guess what? For you to be a successful believer, you have to allow that Word to become alive in you. Unless you get that concept, you'll never be successful. It's no good that you sit around the church house and just listen. Though that's good, because faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word. But what you need to do is you need to put that logos in action. You're pretty much commanded to do that. Because for it to become rhema, you have to speak it. For it to become rhema, you got to act on it. And something happens when that logos becomes rhema. And in between is your belief, but woo! See, I can hear about stuff, but when I experience it myself and apply the Word, when I have to lay hands on myself and receive my healing and believe that it was happening and it manifested, sometimes you gotta do that. Y'all don't believe me though. Say this. Go here to Yohanan. I don't know, it's just something's good in when we talk about the Word manifesting. See, we talked about the Spirit manifesting, hallelujah. But now we talk about the Word manifesting. And it all works together, but there's something that happens when that Word manifests. When it comes alive. So we go to Yohanan, the 8th chapter, the 51st verse. You with me? And I was talking about how when Yeshua was speaking the Word. Listen, check it out. He's the living Word. So he's in situations and circumstances, and people are trying to, roll up on him and say stuff about him. He didn't cower in a corner. He just spoke up. He spoke the Word. And in Yeshua's case, he spoke his mind. Well, his mind was the Word. Hallelujah. See, when you speak your mind, it's not the Word. That's why he says, let this mind be in you. That was in Yeshua. Because when you use your own mind, you speak in foolishness. But when you use his mind, you speak in faith. And he says, you got to let that mind be in you. Tell your neighbor, let it be in you. Not by you, but in you. Because some of y'all sit the Word on the side, you put it on the shelf like you do your Bible, you just dust it off, you better use that. Now you got electronic devices where you can keep it with you all the time. But some of y'all don't even open that app until you come to church. That thing needs to become alive. Every day, somebody say every day, all day. So the 51st verse says, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keeps saying, keep my sayings, he will never die. Right? He shall never see death. 52. Then said the Jews unto him, Yehudis, now we know that thou hast the devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he will never taste of death. They're rolling up on Yeshua. So what did Yeshua say? 53. He says, And then they say, art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? These are those religious folks, the Pharisees and stuff. They was like, our father Abraham, like our daddy Abraham, which is dead. And the prophets are dead. Whom makest thou thyself? Who makest thou thyself? You know what they're saying? Who do you think you are? They're telling this to Yeshua. What does 54 say? And Yeshua answered, come on, get ready. If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say, that is your God. Come on. 55, yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. He said, if I say I don't know him, I'll be a liar just like you lying right now. He says, but I know him. And keep, see, you acting like you're religious and you know, but you don't know him like I know. And the next, 56, and he says, your father, Abraham, rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Yeshua's like, who you think you're talking to? Your father, Abraham. You talking about your daddy? Let me tell you about your daddy, Abraham. Your father, Abraham, rejoiced to see my day. Because I'm here. And he saw it and what? 57. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old. You aren't even 50 yet. How have you seen Abraham? And 58 says, Yeshua said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Who do you think you're talking to? You're talking to the one that was there before Abraham was even existing. And then it takes us all the way back to Yohanan, where he says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with Yahweh. And the Word was Yahweh. And then we skip to the 14th, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among them. Because Yeshua could have came back and said, who do you think you're talking to? I'm the Word. But it's interesting. Go to Bereshit, Genesis, the 15th chapter. This is interesting because where did Abraham see Yeshua? Because Yeshua said, he saw my day. And he rejoiced in it, and he was glad. Well, where did that happen? Let's go to, just go to Bereshit, Genesis 15. Because y'all better stop getting it twisted. Yeshua is the Word, y'all. You resist the Word, you resist Yeshua. You resist Yeshua, you resist the Word. You accept Yeshua, you accept the Word. You accept the Word, you accept Yeshua. You can't separate Yeshua from the Word. You cannot do it. Tell your neighbor, inseparable. You can't separate them. But when we go to Genesis, the 15th chapter, the first verse, it says, after these things, right? The Word of Yahweh came unto Abraham. Ooh, wait.
The Word.
Wait. The Word came. People, hello? Did it say an angel appeared?
No.
See, because, the Word is very specific. After these things, the Word of Yahweh came unto Abraham. Somebody say the Word came to him in a vision. Well, my goodness. Is a letter just going to show up? Walk in? Who's the Word, y'all? Come on.
And the word, who is Yeshua, appeared in the vision saying what? Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Is he a shield? You guys got to use that word as a shield. An exceeding what? Great reward. And so I'm going to let you chew on that for a second. Go to Matthew, 9th verse. I'm going to get a little bit of this out tonight, today. Matthew, the 9th verse. So was Yeshua telling the truth when he said, hey, Abraham experienced me. Well, when did it happen? He said he appeared to him in the word. The word appeared to him in a vision. Right? Say Yeshua is the word. Say Yeshua is the living word. Something happens when you allow, you speak that word and you allow it to become alive. Yohanan, all those years with Yeshua and those years with Mary, his mother, allowing that word to build up until he just started writing and releasing it and speaking it. So we go here to Matthew, the 9th chapter, 20th verse. And we've read this before. And it says, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of the garment. Well, who is this? The woman with the issue of blood, right? Whose garment did she touch? Yeshua's. Why did she do that? Because she believed that he was the Messiah, the Messiah, the son that they said was going to come with healing in his wings. And the wings was the garment, the sleeve. And she said, if I could just touch that, if he got healing in his wings, bring it on. If he got healing in his wings, then that means all I got to do is come in contact with the wings. He ain't even got to touch me. I just need to touch the garment. There's so much power there. But she heard that. And she acted on it. But this, Matthew's version of this is really interesting because the 21st verse says, and she said within herself. Guess where the word was, y'all? The prophecy of the word of Yeshua coming was what? In her. And it wasn't enough that it was in her. See, it was logos in her. But when she had that moment to reach out and touch that garment, that was rhema right there, bro. And it became alive, and what happened? And she said within herself, if I may touch his garment, I shall be whole. Not I might be whole, but I shall. It's a definite thing. It's going to happen. And 22 says, and Yeshua turned him about. And when he saw her, he says, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. So guess what? The word started going out. You think that miraculous event happened and nobody heard about it? Y'all be talking about stuff, don't you? You be spreading stuff. Unfortunately, you spread more bad stuff, you spread good stuff. But this miracle, and we saw it two places. You remember the other place in Luke, I believe, that we talked about it? And it's talking about how, it is in detail, how Yeshua said, oh, the virtue has gone out of me. Somebody touched me, right? Well, let's go here. Go to Matthew, the 14th chapter. She allowed the logos to become alive. Guess what? As that logos, that word started to travel, hey, he's a healer. He's a healer. There's a sister that all she had to do was touch it. Touch the hem. So Matthew 14, chapter, the 35th verse. You got it? And it says this. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, who are we talking about? Yeshua. They sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. Tell your neighbor, the word is out. And so now people are saying, hey, this got to become alive. I need this to become real. 36 verse says, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfect. Hey, we heard about that sister over there that touched your garment and she was made whole. Guess what? I want some of that too. Something happened. But guess what? There were some people that heard and were sick. But guess what? They didn't seek them out. So they probably died sick. You know, for it to become rhema, you got to put some action behind that. Tell your neighbor, you got to speak this. You got to work this. It's got to become alive. And so go to Luke, the 5th chapter. And this is the last one to give you. Because somebody needs rhema. Even today. You know what was happening? Yahweh was manifesting that. But guess what? He was manifesting all the things that you need. But just what? You got to keep on speaking it. I am victorious. I am an overcomer. I am healed. I am delivered. I have peace. I have a sound mind. Tell yourself, it's got to become rhema. Got to speak it. Luke 5th. And it came to pass, first verse, that as the people pressed upon him, why they press on him? These folks was hungry for the word, y'all. Yo, saints, I got a question. Where is your hunger for the word? Where is your hunger if the word is going forth? I want to be where the word is going forth, because all that logos in there, one day I'm going to have a Kairos moment where something needs to happen and I'm going to have to do something, and I want that logos to become rhema in my life. You got a chance. And so the first verse says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed on him to hear the word. Do y'all press to hear the word? Boy, I'm telling you, these seats need to be full when the word is going forth. Y'all need to be, let me hurry up and get up in here. But y'all be sashaying and dragging. You got to be ready to hear the word. And then when you finally plop your prosperous self into this seat, you still got to actively sit up and listen. Because guess what? The Logos is going forth. It's not about me. I'm not talking about my word. I'm talking about his word. It's his Logos. It's his living word. And so it says, it came to pass, they pressed, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And guess what happened there? And they saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their net. They had thrown in the towel. And he entered into one of the ships. Who entered in? Yeshua, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a drought. Who's speaking this? Yeshua. Who is Yeshua? The word. He's the word. And if the word tells you, I know you've been out there, but get on back out there. And go to the same place where you were, right? The word is going forth. Now you got a choice. Somebody say Kairos. Kairos. They could have said, nah, man. We already been out there. We calling it a night. Well, Yeshua's like, I told you. But he said, go out for a drought. 6th verse. And when they... 5th verse. And Simon answered unto him, somebody say Kairos. Master, we have toiled just a couple of hours. No. All night, Father, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless. Somebody say nevertheless. That's Kairos right there. This is the moment in time. Yeah, I've been out there. Yeah, I didn't catch anything. But you just told me in your word, if I go out there again, I'm going to get the fish. So nevertheless, by your word, by your logos, I'm going to do this. And right now, it's Rhema. Because you spoke it, I believed it, and I'm going to do it. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And then what happens? Sixth verse. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets break. They had so much fish, their nets couldn't even contain it. If they had not acted on the logos at that Kairos moment, they would not have received the Rhema and the blessing that Yahweh had for them. So I'm telling you right now, Yahweh's telling you to do something. He's telling you in his word to do something. And you might say, oh, that don't sound right, but no. It's the logos. It's the living word. And when those dudes did it, not only did they get what they wanted, but they got overflow. I'm telling you right now, does anybody want the Rhema to overflow? Who wants overflow? It's available. You gotta let it happen in your life. And so even today, in what we was doing and moving, you gotta believe that you have received what he said he was gonna bestow to you. And how do you confirm that? You keep speaking it. You keep praising him for it. You keep thanking him for it. You know where it starts? It starts right here. You have a Kairos moment right here to speak the word. You've got to believe it. Does anybody, but we got to believe it. You got to believe it. Father Abba, we believe. 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 Many things have been spoken over us. But the only thing that matters is what you speak over us. Maybe we have situations. No matter what the situation that has been presented to us, no matter what the report has been presented to us, nevertheless, at your word, Yahweh, at your word, Yahweh, at your word, Yahweh. We're going to be obedient. We're going to do what you say. We're going to move how you tell us to move. We're going to say what you tell us to say. We're going to do what you tell us to do. And we're going to have the posture of obedience so that we can receive. So right now, in the mighty name of Yeshua, help us understand that your living word, Yeshua, is the real deal in our life. And all we have to do is receive him and speak him. Speak the word. Do the word. And it will become alive in us. So we thank you, Father. We praise you. We magnify you. And we forever give you the glory. We want overflow in our life. We want overflow. We want overflow. We want you to manifest your power. We want it all. We believe it. In Yeshua's name we pray. Mom. Now, Mom, please bow your heads, please. Just really quickly. We're talking about real stuff. You've seen the Spirit manifesting today. You saw him move today. It's real. It's real in the lives of the believers. We know we've experienced him. We've walked with him. So we know that his word is true.
So we speak his word. So maybe you have not reached that point. Maybe you're saying, I don't have that type of relationship with the Father. You can have it today. You can have a relationship with Yeshua. You can live in the victorious life. That's what he's provided for. That's why we're here today. Because all of us have been delivered and we have received and reaped the benefits of a victorious life. A sound mind. Hallelujah. Joy in our hearts. He's provided for us. So we know what we're talking about. And the word keeps proving itself over and over again. So if you are saying, I want a relationship with the Savior that you guys have, this is a moment. This is a Kairos moment. This is a moment in time for you to make a decision. And if you want this victory in your life, all you got to do is raise your hand and we'll pray for you that you receive that today. Doesn't have to happen tomorrow, next month. It can happen today. And if you want to establish a relationship with Yeshua today, just raise your hand and we'll pray for you. This is his moment. We'll pray for you that you can receive victory and all the things that you need today. If you want that, just raise your hand and we'll pray for you. Hallelujah. That's one. Hallelujah. This is a God that we serve. He's awesome and mighty. He's a provider. He's everything we need. Maybe you have established, I'm going to make another call. Maybe you have established that you had a relationship, but you drifted away. And he's calling you back. You know he wants you to come closer, move in closer. He says, draw unto me and I'll draw unto you. And you know he's drawing you. He's pulling you back where you need to be. We call that restoration. If you want restoration, restoration is available. He is the God of the second chance. If you want restoration, declare it today. This is the Kairos moment. If you want that, raise your hand for restoration. It's one, two. Hallelujah. This is real. These moments are real. These opportunities are real. You got to step out on faith. So everybody's bowing their head. I'm going to tell you how the enemy likes to operate. He wants to say, well, don't move. Don't get up. Don't raise your hand because people are looking at you. Don't let no devil in hell keep you from getting what he has available for you today. Don't fall for that okie doke. If you want restoration, if you want to start a relationship with the Father, I want you to come walk down here with me. I'll meet you halfway right here at the altar. Let's pray. Let's get what you want right now today. Hallelujah. Keep your head bowed. Okay, for me. All right. So listen.